Day 1, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. By Fanny Crosby. Welcome, sweet sister, to this Bible study on the fruit of the Spirit. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief is Satan, and he wants to steal our joy, kill our peace, and destroy our faith. But that is not what God has planned for us. Thank goodness. Jesus came to earth to make a way for us to live an amazing, abundant life. And the best part is, we don't have to wait for heaven for that life. It can start now. It can start today. My hope and prayer is that through this study, you will come to know what a fruitful life looks like and find ways to develop more godly traits in your own life so that you may live in obedience to God, bless others, and live your best life. Here's some questions for you to think about. What do you think it means to have an abundant life? What do you want more of in your life? Like friends, love, forgiveness, productivity, smiles. What do you want less of in your life? Like settling, judgment, drama, worry, lies. The Bible makes it very clear from the start that we are born into this world with a sin nature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." That sin destines us for hell, eternal separation from God. But Jesus made a way for us to be reconciled with him. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." John 14:6. 1 John 1:9 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." What great news! If we believe that Jesus is Lord and commit our lives to him, we are saved and will live with him forever. My hope is that you start this study with a personal relationship with the Lord. Unfortunately, though, after our salvation experience, our sin doesn't just go away. We live in a fallen world, and we all continue to sin on a daily basis. We need to be on our guard against sin and actively fight it. Genesis 4:7 tells us, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Galatians 5:19-21 says, "The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like." I once heard it said that we are explosive when we are filled with ourselves. In our flesh, we seek to satisfy our cravings. See Ephesians 2:3. Many Christian women, especially those who have spent a fair amount of their time in the church, are not routinely committing any of the big sins. We're not embezzling millions of dollars, practicing witchcraft, participating in an orgy, or murdering anyone. We aren't openly living in a habitual sin. While God absolutely judges all sins the same, there are some sins that have larger earthly consequences. Believers who are working to grow in their faith know what is right and what is wrong, and usually strive to avoid those big sins. But where it often starts to fall apart for us are in the little things. We exaggerate the truth. We're selfish. We ignore someone in need. We aren't sensitive to those around us. So often we're guilty of sins of omission, not doing the things we ought to do. Willful ignorance is sin. All these little things add up and lead us to living a life that is less than abundant, less than God's calling for our highest devotion to him. This is a big deal. We are called to develop a spirit-filled life. This is a definite contrast to living a worldly lifestyle. We aren't working hard enough to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Ladies, this is something that I have struggled with. I do little wrongs and think they're not that big of a deal, and I don't do the good things I know I'm supposed to be doing. I want to come alongside you as my sisters in faith and encourage you. Please do not allow these teachings to make you feel condemned, but rather convicted to make changes in your life to lead towards more abundant living. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." The NASB translation says we are to be imitators of Christ. This is how we become filled with the Spirit and lead a life of obedience to God's calling. God wants to bless us and he wants our lives to be full, but we have to do our part too. Think about what verse 2 tells us to walk in. It tells us to walk in the way of love. This is going to be so important throughout our study. While this life is hard, God gives us an amazing promise of what is to come. Revelation 21, 4 through 5a says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." One day he's coming and all the pain from this life will go away and everything will be made new. Doesn't that excite you?